because we know these things have to happen. I know we're kind of displaced because it's out of our normal and out of our comfort zone. If you think about how the persecuted church in China, every Sunday, every week, every prayer meeting, they have to go underground. Right? We've had it good. But in this time of season, I know the Lord's going to strengthen us. He's going to stretch us. That's why I'm excited. Because he's going to stretch us. We're going to have faith. Our faith is going to grow in Christ. His word's going to come more real to us. It's going from here down to our heart. Where we're going to have to depend on the Lord for wisdom. We're going to have to pray and ask for direction. We're going to have to ask the Lord, give me wisdom how to say this and how to respond to this. Right? Wisdom is the thing that we'll be asking. I think of Second Timothy as 3. I don't know if one of the boys can read. Who wants to read 2 Timothy chapter 3? Verse 10 to 13. Verse 12 says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. Right? Everybody who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. And persecution comes in many forms. And while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse. Do we see that now? We think, how come they get even worse? They're being deceived and they're getting worse. I think of a few people and it's just how they're getting worse. But the Word of God says, when evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is just part of what the enemy's scheme is to deceive people. People are being deceived. So the battle that we are facing right now is not a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle. And as much as we want to rage in the physical realm, the Lord wants us to rage that in the spiritual realm. He wants us to pray. Because he says the wars that we fight are not physical, they're spiritual. What happens in the spiritual is a lot of times revealed in the natural, and we see with our natural eyes. But behind the scenes, there's something spiritual happening, and we see that. We see people being deceived and even getting worse and worse and worse. And we're like, how can they even get any worse? But these things have to happen. The Antichrist is in the shadows right now waiting. The Antichrist has always been an Antichrist because the devil doesn't know the day or the hour when the Lord's return. He doesn't know the day or the hour when the church is going to be caught up. So the Antichrist has to be ready. There has to be an Antichrist ready to fill in that thing. And so when there's turmoil in the world and unrest, there has to be unrest. There has to be rumors of wars and all this stuff has to happen. Because the Antichrist has to come on the scene to give false peace, false hope. When the church is gone, right now we're seeing a lot of uprisings. We see a lot of people being shaken We see a lot of unrest globally. So it's setting the stage for the Antichrist who comes in, who gives us false hope of peace. There has to be an uprising. There has to be a world longing for a savior. And a lot of people are waiting for the wrong savior. That's, and then you look at how can anybody take on the mark of the beast? And we see how many people are just following in suit what the government's saying to do. Get vaccinated. Do this, do that. It's setting the stage so people are getting primed for the Antichrist to come on the scene. So when the church, who is being prepared by the Lord, by His Word, who's encouraging us, who's our strength, our backbone, our everything, He's preparing the church to keep their eyes on Him. No matter what's happening here, let's keep our eyes on the Lord. Go in prayer and pray for the lost. Pray for those who do not know Christ. Pray for those who are deceived, believers that are deceived. Because there's many believers that are deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Because you know those who you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God is equipping us, preparing us. He wants us to be ready. And I know it's difficult times right now. The Lord, can we pray really? Because it's that the Lord will touch you. I know a lot of us may be being fearful right now. Maybe be angry right now, and bitter, resentful. Maybe disappointed with the church. Maybe disappointed with me. There's no sense. We need to go to the Lord. And that the Lord would encourage you, that you would have this hope that would overflow. And you say, Lord, thank you that during this time you're revealing to me where my hope is really at, or where it's really placed in. So, Lord, I pray for all of us today. Lord, that you know everything that we need. Lord, you know where we're at. You know where we're angry and bitter, resentful, where we're disappointed. Maybe we have fear. Lord, thank you that in that fear you're going to reveal where our trust is placed in. But Lord, I pray that you would encourage us. Lord, that our hope would turn, our disappointment would turn into assured hope in you. That your word would come more alive to us. As we read your word, Father, that you would reveal more of yourself to us and that we would see you in every aspect of our lives. I thank you, Lord, that for how you are preparing us for what is yet to come. Lord, let us keep our eyes fixed on you and to know that your return is nearer than yesterday. Lord, that you are coming very soon. And I thank you, Lord, that you're preparing us and getting us ready for battle. And I pray that, Father, as we see the day approaching, that we'd be on our knees praying and lifting up our family members, praying for those who are lost, praying for those who are deceived. Father, let us be on our knees. Father, let us be truly seeking you, knowing that in our strength we can't do it, but Lord, we need your strength. Lord, we need you and only you. Lord, we just, every frustration that we have, Lord, I pray that we will just give it to you. Every disappointment, Lord, we will give it to you. Every fear that we have, Lord, we just hand it to you. Because, Lord, that you take out every fear and replace hope. Because fear does not come from you. And I thank you, Lord, for how you strengthen us. You know, the role of the government is out. The role of government in carrying out justice also entails passing, upholding just laws. And I know recently they are not passing just laws. For the good of the community and protecting the needy. That's why the government's there. It's supposed to be passing just laws. Psalm 82, 2 to 4 says, "How long will you hand down your unjust decisions by favoring the wicked? Give justice to the poor and the orphans. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and destitute. Rescue the poor and the helpless to deliver them from the grasp of evil men." In Leviticus 19, 15 says, God commanded, "Do not twist justice in legal matters, but favoring the poor or being partial to the rich and powerful. Always judge people fairly." And that's what the government's supposed to do. In Psalm 82, 2 to 4, in Leviticus 19, 15, those are what the government is supposed to do. They're supposed to uphold just laws, make just laws for all. Not to favor some, but to be just. Government is to seek and serve and promote the common good of the people, not the good of rulers. We see that more and more. We see how the government says it's okay for them to do what they can do, or the elite can do whatever they want, and everybody else could do, you can't do it, because the rules don't apply to them. The government must promote and never present progress towards the peace and the prosperity of society. It is to preserve human dignity. That's the role of the government, to uphold dignity. And not to harm one another in violation of human dignity. We see the harm of the closures from the government. We see how suicide rates are high, the drug overdoses, family disputes. We see the effects of their not having just laws. And that causes us to be really ticked off. Because we see how unjust they are and how unjust they are treating and causing more harm than good by restricting these enclosures, restricting the numbers of people. We see them how they are doing the opposite of what they're ordained to do, to make just laws for everyone. Government is to praise those who do good and to encourage us to uphold the rule of law. When people uphold the law, there should be praise for it. It is important to understand that only God is sovereign and the role of government is limited. This is because God has not only ordained the government, but also the church and the family. There's a structure. They have their own authority structures, and the state should never interfere only when it's exceptional, when it has to happen, when there's abuse, right? When there's stuff that's not legal happening in the family, they need to intervene. That's why we have just laws. Abuse is not good, and so they have to be punished. Although God has ordained government in its purpose, it does not have the solutions for all the problems and the troubles in society. We see that. They don't have all the solutions. They're actually causing more harm than good right now. And so many people don't see that. You know, throughout world history, various governments have been, to greater or lesser degrees, a challenge for the church. We see persecution throughout the history. Often the situations have been towards, you know, it's amazing when we go, when the church gets persecuted, what happens to the church? The church grows. Have we seen that? The church actually grows when we face persecution. And why is that? Because we're depending on the Lord. We're on our knees praying. We're seeking Him. We're desiring for Him to move. We are less dependent on ourselves and what we can do. Then we become more dependent on Him for what He can do. You look at the church in China. You look at the church in Iran. You look at the church in Syria. You look at the churches all around the world that are being persecuted, and they're overflowing. But we don't like persecution because it brings discomfort to us. And it's a growing pain, which we don't like growing pains. I don't like growing pains because it's challenging something that I don't like to grow at times. Because who here likes to grow all the time? Oh yeah, I know you guys want to grow. But for spiritual growth, and when the Lord's revealing something, sometimes it brings an uneasiness in our lives. It makes us grow and be stretched. Maybe it'd be a biblical theology that we have. Maybe we believe something, and now we're starting to realize that maybe what I'm believing is not really true. And so we grow because now we're questioning everything that I believe, is it true? I think it's good when we meet together to encourage one another and we share, you know, this is what I believe. And there's correction and growth in that. You know, even one time we were at a Bible study, even Jan goes, I said, you know, you need to forgive yourself. Right? That's nowhere in the Bible. See, there's correction. Either you know how to take correction or you get bitter and resentful. Because not all of us know everything. Because in the Bible it says you need to ask for forgiveness, but it doesn't say you need to forgive yourself. Because forgiveness comes from the Lord Jesus. We have to receive His forgiveness. There's a difference. You can't forgive yourself because that places you as God. I receive forgiveness from the Lord Jesus, who is the source of forgiveness and who gives it freely. So when the Lord forgives you, you need to receive it. When I repent, I need to receive His forgiveness. Because it's dealt with. I'm trusting in what His word says. Our obedience is not to the response of the worthiness of the leaders, but in joyful submission to our Heavenly Father, who has placed government to have the laws. We're subject to the civil authorities. Obedience is not always easy. However, it can be a part of sanctification, where we can grow. Obedience and disobedience to civil government at their appropriate times are both challenges and opportunities for our blessings and God's glory. At times, however, Christians must choose not to obey government or the laws, when such obedience would mean disobedience to God. Does that make sense? So there's laws that the government bring in, and if we follow them, will cause us to be disobedient to God. And God is the higher authority. We can never go against what God's word says. God is the higher authority. He's the one who ordained government, the family, and the church. So when the government is saying certain things and it goes contrary to the word of God, then that gives us opportunity to say, you know what? I respect the law of the land, but this law, I cannot obey it because it goes against the word of God. The government should not have a say that says how many people need to meet in a church, because that's not their authority. They have no authority in the church. Only God has high authority in the church. So they cannot dictate how many people need to come into a church. They cannot dictate how many people come to your house, because that's your house. And they're overreaching their authority. So that's dictatorship, what the government is doing right now. When a government who is trying to dictate who can see and how many we can see, right? That's dictatorship. If they're saying that you can only have certain people in your house, they're saying that you do not have the wisdom or the smarts to say that I can only have 10 people over, right? If you don't have a big enough house, you don't invite 50 people over, right? We have to say that they're overreaching. When the government is trying to dictate, because it goes against our charter rights and freedoms. And also the Section 52.1, the Supremacy Clause, it states that no law can supersede the charter rights and freedoms. So that's Section 52.1, the Supremacy Clause. So the laws are enforcing because they have no evidence. They cannot supersede the charter rights and freedoms. So now this is where we have an out, where we don't have to listen to the government. We're not being disrespectful, but we're disobeying their law because it goes contrary to what the charter rights and freedoms are and to what the Word of God says. You know, when officials say that only X amount of people are allowed in here, Jesus says, what does Jesus say to us? Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 11, 28, 29. Jesus does not limit to the number of people. He wants people to come to him. When we see in Scripture civil disobedience, so Exodus, who wants to read Exodus 1, 15 to 21? Chapter 1, verse 15 to 21. This is one, there's several acts of disobedience in the gospel. Yep, sure.
And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew woman, and see them upon the stoles, it did with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses.
It's amazing how when we fear God, how God blesses people. The law that the Pharaoh had was not a good law. And out of fear for God, the midwives said, we're not going to kill those babies. Just like an abortion. Those babies being aborted every day are being murdered. You think of that, that's an unjust law. There should be no abortions. But there's no abortion law in Canada, which is very sad. his lack of fear of God. Daniel is another one. Daniel disobeying the law, forbidding prayer to any other god or man other than the king Darius. In Daniel 6, who wants to read that one? Daniel 6, 6 to 10. Do you notice what he did? Daniel prayed. Even though for 30 days it was illegal not to pray to any other god, but he, Daniel, went upstairs, opened the window and the doors, and prayed. He never backed down, but he turned to the Lord. Midwives feared God. Daniel feared God by praying only to him. And not even Daniel, when he is caught, there's consequences when we stand up for the truth. There's always consequences. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to King Nebuchadnezzar, says, we're not going to bow down to your idol. And they said, he gave them a second chance. They said, we're not. We'd rather die, and we know God could save us. We know if he's willing, if he wants to, he could save us. Our lives don't matter. We're not going to stop praising him, the one true God. Daniel never stopped praising the one true God. The midwives started praising and had a fear of the one true God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they kept on praising and worshiping the God, no matter the consequence. But they kept looking to the Lord. They put their faith and their hope and their trust. They never, do you know what in there? They never went out and started protesting, but they went to prayer. I know we should stand up for our rights and freedoms, but also we have to remember that we need to go in prayer. We have to pray. We have to pray. In prayer, you get encouraged. In prayer, you get, it's great communion with the Lord. He strengthens you. He reveals things. He helps you. And it shows that you're dependent on him when we go to prayer. Prayer is the key. You think of even when Jesus on the Sabbath, how the Pharisees and that said, you can't not do that. And whose law was it that you cannot heal on the Sabbath? Man's law. Because if he didn't heal on the Sabbath, he would be breaking God's law. So we can't break God's law. We have to uphold God's law. We have to stand up for the truth. So those for us who want to live a holy and righteous life and living as God's ambassadors, as God's children, we stand up for truth and holiness and righteousness. Even though we may face persecution, even though we may be thrown in jail or fined, but we cannot allow fear to stop us. But we have to be wise. So I'm not saying go out and start protesting and start doing these things. What I'm saying is go in prayer. Let's pray and ask God for wisdom. Let's ask God for direction. Lord, what is our next steps? Lord, how can we be your hands and feet during this time? Lord, how can we be the salt and light in this community? Lord, how can we encourage one another in the faith? Lord, how can we come alongside those who are fearful right now? Because our Heavenly Father will give you strength. He will encourage you. He will give you boldness as we stand for righteousness and holiness. We are called to pray. Intercession for everyone. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 6. So it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 6. Yeah. I like to have some people interacting. Okay. So nobody falls asleep.
Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men.
Am I in the right? Yep.
For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time.
Amen. Therefore, I first exhort first this, of all supplications, your needs. What needs do we have? That's first in prayers and intercession. Because God provides. He's the one who gives us everything that we need. He's the one. What needs do we have? And go in prayer. What needs do we have? Perhaps with the body of Christ is supposed to help with our each other's needs. We see that in Acts, how the early church, when people didn't have something, they were selling stuff or giving stuff to help and bless other people, and their numbers were gathered. Every day, their numbers increased. That's the church. They were affecting society. They were affecting other people's lives in a material way. And a spirit, God was spiritually touching them. At different times in various places, government opposed and has sought to crush the church. Such suffering is to be expected and is often a vital part of our sanctification. The Lord wants us to grow. He wants us to get out of our comfort zone. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to depend on Him. And so this is why it's difficult, I think, because He's something different. We are not used to this. Right? Because if we were used to it, we could say, Lord, I could praise you in this time. But in this time, He's teaching us. And eventually, we will start praising Him more and more. It's a growing spurt right now. It's a little difficult. Every attempt of global unification under a single recognized authority has failed. And we see that. We've seen how right now the Pope is going around about a month and a half ago trying to join all religions as one world religion. We see how the governments are trying to become one world government. You look at Babylon, the Tower of Babel, right? They're all trying to be like God and trying to reach to the sky and how God scattered them. Throughout history, this trying to be world domination, but it never lasted. Satan is trying to do the same thing right now. And he's playing in the hand of God. God knows these things have to happen. He's allowing these things to happen in order for his return. We're seeing biblical things happening right now. We're seeing prophecy being starting to be fulfilled in front of our eyes. Every attempt, it's always been failing. Hitler tried to do that. Japan tried to do that. Other nations try to have global domination. Always fails. The authority and sovereignty of the civil government, which is real even if deleted, is limited. Government is only limited. God is the one, is true God that reigns over all. When the church is taken away, caught up in 1 Corinthians 15:55, we are taken up and we're transformed in a blink of an eye. Then the church goes with the Lord for 7 years for this feast. And at that time, the Antichrist comes for 7 years. The church is no longer here. Satan sets up his seven-year reign. At the second coming, when the Lord Jesus puts his foot on the Mount of Olives, that's when he crushes Satan and he starts dealing with all that. Satan's reign will only last for a short time, but the reign of the Lord will last forever and ever and ever. Jesus is setting things up so that Bible prophecy is fulfilled. Bible prophecy needs to be fulfilled. Everything that has been written has to be fulfilled in its due time. Nothing, when you see Damascus being destroyed, that has to be destroyed. The Ezekiel 38 war has to happen. And we see the five nations there in Syria. Things are about to get worse. But the Lord wants to encourage you today. You know, the nations rage, people plot. The kings of this earth set themselves up and try and take counsel together against God and against his anointed. And they try to set up their own governments. God allows it. God is sovereign over all governments, large and small, even good and evil, long-lasting, short. He makes nations great, he destroys them, he enlarges nations and leads them away. While every earthly government will one day come to an end, the kingdom of God alone will never be destroyed and never end. Daniel 2:44. God's government will reign forever and ever. Until that day, we are the people of God. We are to be faithful. We're supposed to be about our responsibilities as God has placed this on us. The race that he has placed us in, we're supposed to be faithful. As the ten virgins, always keeping our lamp full. With expectation and ready that we meet the Lord in the air forever. Because in Revelation, it talks about the church coming back on his second coming. We follow the Lord dressed in white linen. Because I believe in pre-trip. I know I have hope because I know that we don't go through the trials and the tribulation. What God would allow his bride to go through tribulation? Not my God. Five scriptures I know, he says he takes us out of it, out of the judgment. So this is why I have hope. Because I know I don't get judged as the world gets judged. I'm with my Lord in heaven at a feast for 7 years while he judges the world. And during that 3.5 years, even those 7 years, he's even asking people to repent of their ways. People in the second half, when the 144,000 Jews go out and preach the gospel, there's a huge revival. But all those people in that revival get martyred. They get their heads cut off. So I'd rather go pre-trip than mid or post-trip. I know it's not a salvational issue, but that's where I have hope, because that's where I get excitement. Because I know my Lord's return is near. And that's why today I live my day as every day is maybe my last. If you believe in mid and post, you know you have to go through a lot more. Pre, you're like, man, I'm out of here soon. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let me be found faithful in what you have called me to be doing, to share the good news of Jesus Christ to my friends and family. Because I don't know the day, the hour when he's going to return, but I know one thing for sure is, he's coming. And that's why we pray. And that's why we know these things got to happen, because the word of God is always fulfilled. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. So my prayer is for the lost, that the Lord would open up their eyes. Even I know in a spiritual battle, 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, you know, the Satan, the prince of this world, has blinded those who do not know Christ from the truth of the gospel. He has blinded their eyes, so it's a spiritual battle. So we pray against a spiritual battle right now, that to ask the Lord to take the blinders off the lost so they can see the truth of the gospel. There's a spiritual battle, and we're in a spiritual battle, and that's why we get drained. When you're in battle, you get drained. Because we're at war, and your body is recouping. When you get spiritually, that's why we, as we read the Word of God, we get encouraged and strengthened. That's how we get revived and being plugged in. And John 15 says, you know, Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, and he's given us the nutrients that we could be able to be sustained and encouraged and developed. He's the source of our life. As we eagerly wait for the Lord's return with expectation and passion and boldness, abiding, trusting, and persevering, and to be found faithful in the race the Lord has placed us in. He's called us to be faithful, trusting in him, abiding in him. So 2 Corinthians 4:7-12. So 2 Corinthians 4. I'll read. But when we have this treasure in the jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our mortal bodies. For we who are alive are always given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Our lives are supposed to reveal the life of Christ. Persecution brings that out. Hebrews 10:25. So let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing so. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So if we have prayers, if we have needs, let's pray for one another. Let's encourage one another in the faith. Right? Let's not be shy if we have prayer requests. We're here to pray for one another, encourage one another, because we see the day approaching. I believe we're in the, who knows when he's going to return. But let's be encouraging one another until he comes to take us home. Let's be the bride ready for our groom. Let's be the brothers and sisters to encourage one another in the faith. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace upon our life. I thank you, Lord, for how you restore us and how you quicken us. I thank you, Lord, that when we abide in you, we can do all things through you. I thank you, Lord, for how you're developing us and you're allowing this time to stretch us, to allow us to grow and to grow deeper with you, to grow and allow your word to really get from our head to our heart, that we would know that you are preparing us for what is yet to come, for how you are readying us for this battle. Lord, I pray that we would put on the full armor of God as in Ephesians 6. Lord, we would not take it off. And Lord, we will come around others and lift each other in prayer and even seek counsel from people. Lord, I pray that we thank you for everyone here. I thank you for everyone here. And Lord, I pray that every need there is that has been not said, Lord, that you would meet that need, that you would encourage everyone where they're at, even those who aren't here. Father, we thank you that you don't abandon us. You're always with us. You're always directing us. So Lord, give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Lord, help us to see and to know you more intimately now and more all the time. Lord, let us put off more of the things of this world. Lord, let's throw off everything that hinders us. Lord, help us to throw off everything that hinders us from growing with you. Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you and dependent on you. Lord, I pray that you would breathe in us today and refresh us and quicken us. Revive us, Lord. Lord, let us have that boldness as the disciples had when at Pentecost, when you poured into them and refreshed them. And Lord, that they be able to go out and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us be like Peter and Father, all, you know, and just to go out and preach the good news of Jesus to people. All the apostles, Father, let us be about your business. And I thank you, Lord, for the time that we're in. I thank you that you're going to use us for your glory and for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.